Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms chapter number 90, and whenever you find your place there, put your finger there and then go with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Psalms 90 and Matthew chapter number 6, we'll read a few verses. I was thinking about this as you're finding your place. The Bible talks about to everything there is a time, to everything there is a season, and a time to weep, a time to be glad, and it goes through all those different things, but there's one thing that time never changes, and that is the Lord. God. Amen. He said, I am the Lord thy God. And here's what he said. I change not. God has never changed and God never will change. Amen. He's always been the same since before the creation of the world until when the world is passed by. God will never change. Amen. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to read you a couple verses today and just give you a little thought here with the help of the Lord. I read an article this week that was talking about some of this, and God just kindly stirred a thought in my mind, and I want to give that to you this morning. Psalms chapter number 90. Psalms chapter number 90. We'll read there first. If you will, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Psalms chapter number 90. I'll read one verse here, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter number 6. If you don't have your Bible with you, of course, it'll be on the screen also. Psalms 90, verse number 12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Know what he says in the beginning of that, so teach us to number our days. Go with me to the Bible, in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 6, and I'm reading one verse here, and this is primarily where we'll stay today. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before we do anything else in our life, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What are all these things? Well, by the end of the message, maybe we'll see it. He shows us previously in these verses, all these things shall be added unto you. I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while this morning. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. I thought about these young people graduating, man, and starting life. You know, they're starting to adult a little bit, and Madeline had to put tires on her car the other day. And you say, you didn't pay for her tires? No, I didn't pay for them. I paid a little bit of them, but I made her pay for part of them. And Olivia had to have her oil changed the other day, and I made her pay for having her oil changed the other day. And you say, really? Why? Because we're trying to teach them about adulthood. And these young people, as they begin or into what we say life a lot of times, how can we make the rest of our life the best of our life? Father, I love you. God, I sure am thankful for your blessings today. God, I thank you, Lord, for just being God. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you, God, for being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning. And God, you know the very need of this service. And God, I pray that you would use us as we preach a little while. And God, I pray that if there's anybody here lost today, that today will be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray that you'd help Brother Aaron and Youth Church. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Can I ask you a question this morning? What is the rest of your life? How much longer do we have in life? Well, the Bible says this, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It vanisheth away. The truth of the matter is this, life is moving about so rapidly today. Now I understand there's 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week and 4 weeks in a month and 52 weeks in a year, but the truth of the matter is this, does it not seem like it's going by a whole lot faster than what it really is? I was thinking about these young people graduating high school, and especially I was thinking about Dana and KK, and we've watched them grow up just from little kids here at the church over the past 17 years, and now to see them as they have graduated high school and as they're going on into life, and to sit around and see some of the young adults today that are helping us in the church and working in the church, man, Brother Brian, it seems like yesterday they was little kids in youth church, and man, they've grown up now. What I'm saying is this, our life is rapidly moving by us, and before we know it, we're going to be Tim and Vicky's age. I mean, they was working with young people in the 50s. We're going to be their age before we know it. Man, life's flying by. Madeline's 20 years old now. I've got somebody in the house that's not a teenager no more as a kid, and she's 20 now, and Olivia just turned 17, and Victoria turned 11 going on 30. Y'all that know her know what I'm saying. Man, life's flying by. How to make the rest of our life the best of our life? One thing that I decided myself going into this summer after we got done with the building program, we had spent so much time the past year working on this, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God gave us the ability to do that and the health and strength to do that. But one thing that I made a vow to myself to, I'm not even said this out loud to nobody, was this summer to spend more time with my kids than I have in the past 2 or 3 years. Let me tell you the reason why. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone before we turn around twice. And I'm going to be as old as Miss Tina holding a grandbaby at church. Man, life's flying by. How do we make the rest of our life the best of our life? Sometimes I sit back, and me and Miss Leslie talks about this every once in a while, and we talk about Brother Jim and Miss Vicky, and I said, you know what? When we get their age, I hope I live to see that age, and whenever we get their age, you know, we're going to have us a nice car that's a convertible. We're going to ride around on the parkway, and man, we're going to live life good. But what is the rest of our life? What is the day may be the rest of our life. We may be living in the last moments of our life. I read this. Let me read you a couple things that I read this week. Someone has observed that life is like a dollar bill. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. When you spend money, there's really only one of two ways you spend it. You can waste it, or you can invest it. You can waste it, or you can invest it. You know what? Our life is the same way. We are going to spend our life. And what are we going to do with? Are we going to waste our life away? Or are we going to invest our life into others? I was sitting with a group of men this week talking, and we was at the sheriff's office, and I was talking to several of them, and we began to talk about some of the people in our community, and one of them said this. He said, this one gentleman, he said, man, I can tell you something, and I can't tell you how many people that I've watched him take when their life was in a mess and it looked like they didn't have nothing, and he invested in their life and helped them get their life back on the right track and poured money into them and helped them. You know what that man had done in his life? He had invested his life instead of wasting his life. You know, here in just a few weeks, we're going to youth camp. Please pray for us. We're going to youth camp. And we put on youth camp every year. We started in 2014 or 2015 putting on youth camp. And man, here in just a few weeks, we'll be going to youth camp again. Over 230 kids registered for youth camp this year. You say, what are you going to do with all of them? I don't know. That's the reason we've got workers, and that's one week where I'm glad to be the director of Foothills, because I delegate a bunch of stuff that week. Miss Regina, what are you going to do when 230 kids plus 100 adults come running in to eat? She's over our kitchen during that week.
You say, well, what do you think Miss Regina's going to do? I don't care, but whenever I come in there, and y'all that knows me knows that, I've got all kinds of reasons why I can't eat but certain things. Yet. The main thing is this, Brother Brian, she's got all my stuff prepared when I come in there to eat. Why do you do that? It's not a waste of time to pour a week of our life into hundreds of young people. It's an investment of our life. Why do we have Sunday school? Because we are investing in the life of others. Well, I read this. Suppose you were starting life all over again. You're old enough to know right from wrong. You're old enough to learn, old enough to love, old enough to really live. If you could ask God how to make the rest of your life the best of your life, what do you think God would say? Can I tell you what God would say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's what happens so many times when we try to make the rest of our life the best of our life. Here's what happens so many times. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me just a minute this morning. I'll get there. Here's what happens so many times. The devil comes up and goes, but don't you remember what you used to do? Don't you remember the life you used to live? Lloyd Johnson, how are you going to tell young people to live for God when you lived a life like you used to live? Now somebody might as well holler, amen. Josh Forrest, how are you going to tell young people to keep their life right when you lived a life like you did at one time? Robert Potts, does the Lord even talk to you? The devil does. He said the devil lives with him. How are you going to help anybody when you've done this, this, and this in the past? Boy, isn't that the truth today? There's many times that I'm telling you, man, over and over and over in a couple of weeks, I'll be sitting on that platform in the night service watching 200 young people sing in the choir and probably 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 people in the congregation during our youth camp where we have it at. And boy, I'll be sitting there and fixing to lead the service, Brother Josh, and the devil will crawl up on my back and he'll go, what are you doing sitting here? You know the life you used to live. You know the things you used to do. You know how you used to act and the way that you was years ago. And the devil will crawl up on our back and tell us we have no business doing that. But here's what God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say anything about days gone by. He said starting today what we must do is forget the past and focus on the present and make Him everything. I love the story of Jonah in the Bible. I love it. Jonah is such a great story. It's a short chapter, short four chapters in our Bible, short little book in our Bible, but it's so dynamic. It's got so many good things in it. And here's what I like about the book of Jonah. God spoke to Jonah and asked Jonah to do something. And Jonah said no. That's what Jonah said. He said, no. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to get on a boat and I'm going to pay the fare thereof and I'm going somewhere else. You know what Jonah did? Jonah done exactly that. Now, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. Anytime you don't do what God tells you to do, it will cost you something. Jonah paid the fare thereof. He got on it. And he fled from the presence of God, and he went into the boat, and he went into the bottom of the boat, and he went into the bottom of the sea, and went into the bottom of the well. Just kept going down, didn't he? Jonah cried out for God to rescue him from the mess that he was in, and God didn't go, no, Jonah, I ain't got time to mess with you. That's not what God did. God heard Jonah in the belly of the whale. God rescued Jonah out of the belly of the whale. In chapter 3, verse number 1 starts like this. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance? So here's what I'm saying. The past may be something bad. The past may be a life that you don't want to talk about. about and don't need to talk about. Start today and let this be the rest of your life and the best of your life. You say, preacher, how do I make the rest of my life the best of my life? I'm going to give you something right here in just a second. I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. I love life. I love living life, Brother Ramsey. I love life. I wouldn't trade my life with nobody. I love life. Y'all know what Nacho said? My life is good. It's really good. I wouldn't trade. If y'all hadn't watched Nacho Libre, y'all need to go watch that. I love, somebody said amen. Stan said amen to that. Oh boy, had some stomach issues on that and too. But anyway, and them little midgets will get you. But anyway, I love life, man. I enjoy life. I don't have no sad stories to tell you today. Has there been heartache? Sure, but God's always been there. I enjoy life. I just refuse to walk around with my head down, down and out, worrying about, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the economy's going to do. None of us knows what the president's going to do or what Washington's going to do or anybody else is going to do. But I do know this. I've read the back of the book, and us as the children of God, everything's going to turn out all right. How to make the rest of your life. Number one, if you're going to make the rest of your life the best of your life, number one, you got to set proper priorities. Number one, set proper priorities. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? You got to set proper priorities. What is first? Matter of fact, this afternoon, I'll sit down in my study and I've got a planner and I'll begin writing in that planner what needs to be done this week. Tomorrow, Miss Haley starts with us here at the church for the summer as our church secretary, so she'll get a big old list tomorrow of things for next week. But Brother Ryan, I'll write in there, and here's the way the planner that I use, it has your top three priorities for the week. Brother Ted, I'll write all of my things down that I need to do this week. And then I'll pick the top three of all of those things, and I'll move them over to this category, and I'll put them in there. And then I'll have the rest of them. It's called prioritizing, and they tell me that if you'll go by what you write down, it helps. Y'all will catch that. Lord, they tell me that. Brother Zach, they say, if you'll do what you write down, it helps. But so many times, usually, about Saturday rolls around, I open that thing back up. I'm awful for that, but I'm reading a book to help me on that right now. It's called Eat That Frog. You ought to read it sometimes. It's about procrastination. Priorities. What is our priorities in life? Here's number one. If you're going to make the rest of your life the best of your life, you got to set the proper priorities. What is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I, for years, collected Bibles. I've sold a lot of the Bibles that I'd collected down through the years, had a lot of older Bibles and different things. But in any Bible that I use, that more than just reading it a little bit, I preach out of it, I carry it. And the front of that Bible has the priorities for my life. And number one, in every one of those, it says God. Not the church, not my wife, not my children, God. God. Then it says Leslie. Then it says Madeline, Olivia, and Victoria. 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 I'll get it out in a minute. And then it says ministry. So before any of y'all, I'm sorry, I got three kids and a wife. And that's first before y'all. But even before them, it's God today. God has to be the priority of our life. What did he say? He said, seek ye first. The word seek means this. It means to actively pursue or to go after. It is in the present tense whenever you study it out. And it means to continually, every day of our life, we seek God. We seek to please God. In every decision we make, we seek God in it. In every word that we say, we seek God in it. We make God everything in our life. We make God everything. I've got two sisters. One's in heaven and one's here on earth. my sister Rebecca that's still alive today. I've got a brother in heaven and a sister in heaven. Now I got a sister here that's still alive. And Rebecca and I was talking yesterday, and here's what we was talking about. And you that knows my sister, her husband is a pastor also. And we was talking about this. We was talking about how so many times it seems like everybody in the world today is preoccupied with everything. It is the busiest society that you'll ever hear from. There's this, 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 and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and oh, I got this, this, and this, and I may come to church, by the way. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? I may stop by the church house, but I've got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do. Time out just a minute. What would God say about making the rest of our life the best of our life? He would say this: seek God first. We've got to set the proper priorities. God has to be everything to us. God has to be everything to us. He said, seek the kingdom of God first. Whenever you study the Bible, he says this in James 4, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. He said this in Jeremiah 29. He said, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Matter of fact, whenever you read this, and I'm going to move on here in just a second, but whenever you read these verses, you'll find out that in verse number 30, there's the word faith. In verse number 32, there's the word father. In verse number 33, there's the word first. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you know what faith is? Faith is simply this. We put God first. We trust Him with everything. Jesus wants to be first moments of every day. Jesus wants the first day of every week. Jesus wants the first part of every paycheck. He wants to be first. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in being the first runner-up in your beauty contest. He's not interested in being vice president of your cooperation. He is not interested in being a second in your life. Whenever you study Jesus out, He's interested in being first. He's not interested in being second in command in your army. He wants to be the king on the throne of your heart and not a co-partner in your relationship. He wants everything. I love the speech, and I'm sure many of you have heard it, by retired U.S. Navy SEAL Admiral William H. McRaven. A lot of people refer to this speech as the Make Your Bed speech. If you've never listened to it, you need to listen to it. But I disagree with one thing that I disagree. Well, there's probably things I disagree in it, but there's one thing that I majorly disagree in it with. And it's this right here. It's the very first thing he says. Every morning when you wake up, first make your bed. Every morning when you wake up, first thank God for the bed that you was able to lay in. Thank God for the night that you slept. Thank God for the health to get out of that bed. Thank God that your children is awake. Thank God for your spouse that's awake. Thank God for the roof over your head that bed was in. Then make your bed and start your day. Number one, set proper priorities. Number two, said, preacher, if the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. Number two, seek personal purity. We don't hear much preaching on this today. Seek personal purity. What did the Bible say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness. In other words, the world should see Christ in us. When the world looks at us, do they see Christ? There's times, now somebody give me an amen right here, okay? There's times that we do things and we say things that we shouldn't. There's times that we're tired. Now you can say amen or oh me. There's times that we're tired. There's times that we give out. There's times that we just wake up and we have a bad day. And we don't want to talk to nobody. Anybody that says anything to us is wrong. No matter what, they could hand us $1 million and there'd be something wrong with that $1 million. There's times we have bad days. You might as well say amen. And there's times that we say things we shouldn't say and we act ways that we shouldn't act. But if we're seeking Him first and we're seeking personal purity in our life, we'll be the first one to go back and say, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that." You know, that's two of the hardest words that you'll ever say. "I'm sorry." Or what about this one? I don't even know if I can say this. "I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way." Not long ago, I woke up having a bad day. It was a Sunday morning. I woke up, and just to be quite honest with you, I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to see nobody. I didn't want to talk to nobody. Be real honest with you, I wanted to go on the backside of nowhere where there wasn't nobody at and take me a bologna and cheese sandwich and some chips and a fishing pole and a can of Beanie Weenies. Somebody say amen for Beanie Weenies. And sit down on the riverbank and wet a hook with nobody around me. And after I eat my bologna and cheese and my Beanie Weenies and my chips and I drunk my cheer wine, I just wanted a good chew of Red Man Silver Blend, to be honest with you, and not worry about nothing for a little. I'm just being real. I've been here 17 years. Y'all know me. I'm just going to be. That's exactly what I wanted to do that Sunday morning. But you know what I'd done? I got up and I prayed. And I said, "Lord, does somebody else need to preach today and me take a day off?" He said, "You know better than that." I didn't even pray. Something I did not even pray about. I didn't even pray about that. I got up. I started praying, "Lord, give us a good day. God, help us." I come up here and walked around the grounds. "God, fill the church today. God, fill the Sunday school classes today. God, give us what we need today." And after church, there was something that had nothing to do within the church. See, when a preacher talks about things that happened, everybody automatically thinks, "Well, you know what? I bet one of the deacons got on his nerve." It was nothing to do with the church. I got a personal life outside of church. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but I do. Something happened, Brother Scotty, and I got mad. Son, when I say probably the maddest I'd been in 25 years. I was mad. I was ready to fight. I'm as real as I can be. And here's what I thought. You know, one of two things will happen. I'll tote a whooping or they'll tote a whooping, but one of us going to tote a whooping. I ain't as good as I once was. I'll leave that right there, because some of you heathens in here probably know the rest of what I was going to say right there. I'm as good once as I ever was. I'm just telling you, man, I was mad. And for about 2 days, I was on a rampage. My wife will tell you, I was on a rampage. And I sat down with a buddy of mine and eat lunch. And he said, "You might want to pump the brakes a little bit." Who are you to tell me to pump the brakes, Hoss? Anybody else ever been there? Don't be telling me to pump the brakes. You might need to pump the brakes yourself. Boy, we left, and I thought, he's right. I came home. I picked up the phone, tried to call an individual. He didn't answer, so I sent a text message, and I set up a meeting with two other individuals. And I went and sat down and talked to them. And here's what I said. "I'm sorry. I was completely in the wrong." And they said, "No, we was." I said, "I didn't come here to hear you. I come here for you to hear me. I was wrong. I acted in the flesh. I'm a preacher. And I'm a pastor of one of the growingest churches in our county right now. God's blessed us." And Brother Ramsey, I started crying. And I said, "I'm sorry. I should have never acted that way." Now, I don't tell you that to tell you that I'm a good person. I'm not. I didn't want to do that. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We should seek every day of our life for Christ to be seen in us, for us to exemplify Him. Number three, I'm done. Not only do we seek proper priorities, not only do we seek or set proper priorities, we seek personal purity, but I say this, number three, in closing. We see promised prosperity. Now, let me explain. I'm not saying that you're going to have $1 million at the end of the day. If you do, we'd be glad for you to make a charitable contribution to a 501c3, and we'll give you a tax write-off for that. You say, preacher, would you really do that? Give and see. The word, they give it to the world enough. Praise God, we'll pay this building off, amen. Watch this. I want you to see something. You care to come start playing softly? I want to read a couple of things to you right here and tie this all together. Note that what our text says. If you seek His kingdom and His righteousness, here's what He says. All these things shall be added unto you. Now, what things was the Lord talking about? Note with me, verse number 19. We are told that people worry about finances. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal. He talks about finances. Verse 25, we're told that people worry about food. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? He goes on to say this, verse number 27, we're told that people worry about fitness. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? Verse 28, we are told that people worry about fashion. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. I want to say something to you. When we think about finances, we think about food, we think about fitness, and we think about fashion. We need every bit of that to live. When I'm talking about fashion, I'm not talking about wearing name brand clothes. I'm just talking about having clothes on our back. We need money to make it. We need food to sustain. We need a little bit of health to be able to make life. We need fashion. Now, all of these are things that we need. That's why the Lord said, verse number 32, leading into verse 33, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what you need. God knows that you need some food in your belly. I do. God knows that we need clothes on our back. God knows that we have to have money to sustain our life. That's the way, that's what makes the world go around. And here's what He says. If you'll seek Me first, I'll add this to you. That does not mean that I'm going to be a millionaire or a billionaire. That does not mean that I'm going to own 780,000 acres and have a big ranch. And that, no. But He says this, but My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. It means that He'll meet it. Here's what I read. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn, or that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. You see, a lot of times we judge the value of life by what people has. That is temporal. That is going to burn up one day. That's going to be gone one day. It's all going to be gone one day. My dad used to say this. He's got a Kubota tractor, and Daddy would say, he said every once in a while, whenever I die, put that tractor in the hole with me, because I've never been in a hole it couldn't get me out of. He was this past week, though, and I had to go pull him out. But anyway, he'd say that every once in a while, Piggy. You know what? We're all headed to a hole one day. It's called death. We're going to return to the ground one day from whence we came. We're not going to take nothing with us. Nothing of this world, nothing temporal of this world will we take with us. And here's what we've got to learn. We've got to learn our priority is seeking Him. Our purity is relying on Him and exemplifying Him. And He says, when you do that, I'll take care of you. I'll meet all your needs. There's never been a time that I went to the cabinet that there wasn't some beans in it. There's never been a time. There's been times I don't have no sad stories. God's been good to me. But I'm going to tell you, when we first came here 17 years ago, I took Amazing Grace Baptist Church on $500 a month. We moved our family up here. So I took the church on. I went back to work, which I had built before then, and I'd done this and I'd done that. I'd done this and I'd done whatever I had to do to make ends meet. But there was never a time that there wasn't food in the cupboard. There's times that I went to the grocery store and I couldn't buy a filet mignon. I may have had to buy beanie weenies, but the need was always met. We don't judge God by how much riches we have. That's not what He's saying. He's saying this, though. Every need that you ever have in your life, I will meet. And here's the biggest need that we have. We're going to go through some dark days. And there's going to be some things money can't buy. There's going to be some days. My mom and my daddy's still alive. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law still alive. But over the past year, I've watched changes in them. They're aging, Brother Lloyd. My daddy, I think he'll probably die on a tractor one day because he ain't got no common sense. Matter of fact, I told Olivia when we went up there the other day, Daddy was up on the mountain at his cabin. I told her whenever we started in there, right before we got to Rayburn's cabin, I said, now Olivia, if anything happens, this is road, you know, that goes up to Pawpaw's. I said, you come back out and stand right here. And you just tell the people to come up to right here and you'll show them into where we're at. I said, I don't think nothing's going to happen, but you never know, Brother Lloyd, when you're working with tractors and equipment. I said, if anything happens, you come back right here. And you know what? The day's going to come if the Lord don't come back and I outlive my mom and daddy, then I'm going to have to bury him one day. And it don't matter how much money I got in my pocket when that day comes. There's some things that money can't buy. There's some things that money can't give you peace about. Oh, but there's a God in glory. And He said, you seek me first and you put me first. And I'm going to tell you something. Every need that we have in those darkest days of our life, when it don't matter how much money we got, the good God of glory. Boy, this ain't nothing like Him sliding in there beside of us, Brother Ted, and putting His loving arms around us and whispering in our ear that everything is going to be all right. No, it's not an audible voice, but it's much louder than that, if you know what I mean, Brother Ramsey. And He says this, all these things shall be added unto you. But we've got to put Him first. He's got to be it. He's got to be it. Father.